You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hi, welcome to this Subway ad for the new Sesame Ginger Glazed Chicken Signature Wrap. How would you like it?
I'll take a...
Sports announcer at home?
Yeah, how'd you...
We just know.
My wife picks up the new signature wrap. It's got double the rotisserie-style chicken mixed with a sesame ginger glaze. She appears annoyed at me, but she shrugs it off. Those sweet and savory flavors are calling her name. She lifts the wrap and... She takes the bite! Incredible! And now she's closing the door on my... Subway, make it what you want.
Limited time only at participating restaurants. Double meat basement, average 6-inch sub.
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle and here is my spout.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
You've been camping in your backyard, cycling in your living room. You've been enjoying rain showers in your bathroom, campfires on your TV screen. You've been counting stars and birds from your window and holding family cookouts in the kitchen. Now, get ready to go. Go on a real vacation. Take the wheel at your nearest RV dealer or at GoRV.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The White House continues to defend the failure to brief President Trump on the reported Russian program that paid the Taliban to kill U.S. troops in Afghanistan. White House spokeswoman Kayleigh McEnany.
It was a career CIA officer with more than 30 years tenure who made the decision not to brief it up. And the National Security Advisor agreed with that decision. She's an excellent officer and does great work and made the decision not to brief it up. It was the right decision to make. And at this moment, as I speak to you, it is still unverified.
The president is under growing pressure from lawmakers of both parties to provide more answers about the intelligence and the U.S. response, or the lack of one. President Trump says he doesn't believe the intelligence is true.
And I'm sure I don't see many things that they don't think rose to the occasion. This didn't rise to the occasion.
This is USA Radio News. The family of a missing Fort Hood soldier believes the human remains found on Tuesday are that of Private V.S. Aguian, who disappeared more than 2 months ago. One person is under arrest, and another person reportedly committed suicide. Guillen's sister, Lupe, is critical of the Army investigation.
My mother does not deserve this. I don't deserve this. My family does not deserve this. Vanessa Guillen did not deserve this.
The family is calling for a congressional investigation. Under growing criticism for his response to the report that Russia paid Taliban fighters to kill U.S. troops in Afghanistan, President Trump says he doesn't believe the intelligence is true. He says he has no concerns over not being briefed in person.
And I'm sure I don't see many things that they don't think rose to the occasion. This didn't rise to the occasion.
He tells Fox Business he believes the Democrats made the whole thing up.
I think it's a hoax. I think it's a hoax by the newspapers and the Democrats.
This is USA Radio News. A federal judge has ruled in favor of immigrants, sending another blow to the Trump administration. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more.
A federal judge overturning a Trump administration asylum rule targeting Central Americans. The federal court last night upholding a challenge to the 2019 asylum restrictions that require immigrants to first claim asylum in another country. U.S. District Judge Timothy Kelly of Washington, D.C., ruling in favor of asylum seekers and immigrant nonprofits who'd argued that the third country asylum rule violated the Immigration and Nationality Act. The law allows anyone who makes it to the United States soil to apply for asylum.
The Small Business Administration says they received over $8 billion disaster relief loans from small businesses during the coronavirus pandemic. USA's Tim Berg has more.
Speaking before the House Small Business Committee, Associate Administrator for Disaster Assistance James Rivera says these are unprecedented loan numbers.
This agency has provided economic relief to over 6.8 million small businesses for over $147 billion.
Rivera outlines some of the steps the SBA is taking to deal with the high demand.
Currently, we're processing grants in less than 2 days. The pandemic and nationwide program has also required the agency to scale up our disaster staff, now totaling over 7,000 personnel.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
In times of need, this is what most insurance sounds like.
What's your policy number?
But insurance with AAA sounds like this.
Is everyone okay?
See the difference at AAA.com/insurance.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5000. Enjoy.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
I take a breath, I'm not gonna lose. This is what I came here to do.
Keep on doing what you do, Rick. You're my favorite host.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
It's time to hear the truth about America's biggest challenges. You're listening to America Off the Rails with your host, Rick Robinson.
Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
Welcome to hour four of the evening Chat Lives Matter extravaganza. I'm on hour six. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I started this day doing a two-hour morning show, and then I came in this evening, and I've produced for G, I produced for the Foodless Foobar, and then produced and co-hosted the Robinson and Horty Show, and now I'm flying solo until midnight, and yeah, needless to say, I'm going to have to set some extra alarms, because I might actually accidentally sleep through my own morning show again tomorrow. I really hope not, because tomorrow's my Friday. And that would suck if I don't get to do the morning show tomorrow, because I really, really like the morning show. If you guys, and one of the reasons I'm bringing this up here is because we haven't really been doing the show as much lately, and this is actually still one of the number one shows on the station right now. I think it's so there's like a three-way tie, and it fluctuates. FUBAR, Conservative Curmudgeon, and this one kind of vie for first place depending on who does enough shows that month. So it's just been easier at this point just to call it a three-way tie. But it is still one of the most listened to shows across all the platforms. So trying to let people know that we're doing a morning show now too, because it's been around for a while, so we're trying to build up the audience, because I didn't get the recall notice from the office today. Now, that could technically happen at any time, but for as long as they keep letting me telecommute, and I still have all the equipment that they're letting me use to telecommute. So because of that, I get to keep doing the morning show for as long as we are homebound. And with all the cases and stuff that have cropped up again, I'm not sure they plan on doing anything differently than they are right now anytime for the near future. So I'm trying to build up the morning show as much as I can, because, well, honestly, I found a couple of sites that I'm checking out that might let us start getting people to do, like, subscription stuff in exchange for not having to hear ads. Now, I'm not saying that you guys that listen to the chat that I want you to do that or anything, but we're trying to get new people that might listen and actually be willing to pay for it. Because if I could find a way to do this kind of stuff and make money, I could eventually maybe quit the day job. Because, you know, I have done this and made money before, and I'm trying to get to that point again, but, you know, radio keeps changing, so I've just finally kind of given up on the whole idea of, you know, trying to get famous the Sean Hannity way or the Rush Limbaugh way, or at this point, I'm even pretty much given up on getting famous in general. I just want to be able to do this and pay my bills, so we're trying to figure out a way to get that done, have a bunch of different angles that we're looking at, but anyway, enough of me talking about that, because that's not what you guys are tuning in for. So, just as a reminder, if you haven't yet, please go check out The Daily Dose. We are typically live every Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., and we'll be doing that show for as long as I am continue to be allowed to telecommute. Wow, get paid to talk for a living. In certain days, I still can't ever seem to pull it off. But anyway, so how's everybody tonight? Just curious, because, well, actually, before we get too far into anything, I want to let you guys hear something, because I just found out about this right as we were about halfway through the previous hour, and we talked about it a little bit, but I found the audio while we were spinning up between commercials and, you know, the launch of the next hour. So I want you guys to hear this just so you know exactly what is going on, or what was going on today in Washington, D.C., of all places.
Israel, no, you murder children too! Israel, we know you! You murder children too!
Israel, we know you! You murder children too! Our
black...
So there you have, and it was caught on video, during a Washington, D.C. Black Lives Matter rally today. The crowd was recorded in both audio and video. In case you couldn't make it out very well, I'm going to go ahead and repeat it. Israel, we know you. You murder children too. So let things go on long enough, and of course everything takes a turn to anti-Semitism. Now the funny thing about this is, let this sink in for a second, they're protesting the fact that they feel like America is racist against African Americans and unfair to African Americans and country built on systemic racism, blah blah blah, yada yada yada, but you give them enough time and even they admit that they're racist too. Now, I say too, because according to them, because of the color of my skin, I'm racist. I don't consider myself racist, because I don't look at somebody's color of their skin. I'm not saying I don't see it. I'm not, oh my God, I love you for you on the inside, so I don't even see the color of your skin. No, that's bullshit. Everybody sees skin color. I'm sorry. Even God sees skin color. Look at some of the songs that he's inspired people to write that talked about God loves yellow children, red children, brown children, white children, all children equally. So even God sees color. God understands that there are differences in human beings. But the simple fact of the matter is, we have a group of people that want to do nothing but focus on the differences instead of looking at how we are the same. And that's the thing. They are trying to tear America apart from the inside simply because they want us focusing on our differences. The differences in our socioeconomic statuses. The differences in what kind of work we do. The differences in the car we drive. The differences in the way we look. The differences in the way we talk. The differences in the way we dress. The differences of our skin tones. All of these things are used as divisive tactics. And I've said this for years. We need to stop hyphenating America. You're not Irish American. You're fucking American. You're not African American. You're a fucking American. You're not, at this point, if you are an American citizen, you're not even Native American. You are an American. It really is that simple. Look, folks, I don't care what color you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care who you want to sleep with as long as they can give consent and they don't care what you're doing with them. I don't care about any of that. The only thing that I care about is did you arrive into this country legally or were you born here? If the answer to either one of those questions is yes, then you're an American and nothing else matters to me. Until you start pulling out this commie card-carrying bullshit, and then we're done. Because this is nothing but making people focus on why we should not like each other. And the simple fact of the matter is, we have more in common as Americans than we're ever going to have that is not in common. Do you realize that for all these people that are protesting and burning things in the streets and rioting and looting, do you realize that as far as the rest of the world is concerned, the entire country of America is 1%, 1%ers? That's the part that I can't ever seem to get anybody to understand. Our poorest people in this country are living like kings compared to the poorest people in other countries. They have their meals provided for them. The government helps them get housing. They have 55-inch HD 4K flat-screen TVs. And I'm not saying that to be disingenuous about it. I'm saying that as an honest thing. People that in any other country would be sleeping on dirt floors and eating the bugs off of the ground have warm food in their bellies. Most of them have electricity. Most of them have TV. Most of them have cable. Most of them have internet. Most of them have a smartphone. And yet they are the poorest among us. If the poorest among us would basically be considered upper class in any other country, what is so fucking bad about America? Now, I'm not talking about in other first world countries, but you know, you have second and third world countries, and if we really want to, there's more second and third world countries than there are first world countries, so if you really want to look at the averages, we are some of the richest people on the planet. Because even the people that to us are poor are better off than 80% of they're better than 80-90% of the entire population of the planet. And yet, they want you to think that America is not the best place on earth. Now, I understand that that is a subjective statement and that is loaded with opinion. But at the same time, find me somewhere better. Find me somewhere better. Because America, up until now, we haven't had a caste system. We haven't had this, you know, you're born into a certain socioeconomic strata and you stay there until you die. That's never existed in this country, at least not before. We're getting there now. And that's part of the reason why I'm so angry. Because you get these people that they get locked in based on, you know, where they live. Because, you know, now that there's all this government in charge of everything, you've got this one-size-fits-all cookie-cutter education. And by God, you have to let the kid go to... You have to make the kid go to school in the area that you live in so that they can get your tax money to make the school better. But then the school's a piece of shit because they're funneling money to the administration. I mean, that's like... Years ago when I first started doing this, and this was a long time ago, when I first started doing podcasting, when I really started looking at education, I looked at New York City, and everybody's talking about how terrible the New York City schools were, and how they were underfunded, and this, that, and the other, and I saw story after story after story of janitors in the New York City public school system retiring and buying yachts. Now, you're telling me that in America, somebody who scrubs toilets for a living can retire and buy a yacht on a public salary? I mean, look, I get it. We all want to live our best life. I want to live my best life. Hell, why do you think I've been doing this for almost 11 years? Trying to see if I just keep knocking hard enough, eventually is something gonna break. Because this is what I want to do. This is what I feel like I've been called to do. I don't know at what level I'm supposed to do it. I only know that I'm supposed to do it. So I'm going to keep doing it until either I can't do it anymore or until something gives. Because if not for this, I would be going insane. So I understand that, you know, not everything that you do that's a calling is going to make you rich. But I also don't see the point or understand the point of someone who scrubs toilets for a living being in a position where they can retire and buy a yacht. I'm not talking a fishing boat. I'm talking an actual yacht. Now, I mean, I'm not talking like George Clooney yacht or anything, but it is by definition a yacht. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars for a boat. You know why? Because that janitor, now granted, he'd been there for a long time, but when he retired, he was making $175,000 a year to clean toilets. That's more than the mortgage on my house. Now, granted, in New York, that's not nearly as much money as it sounds like for me, because here, upper middle class is anywhere between $55,000 to $75,000 a year. Because things are cheap here. But $175,000 a year to clean toilets? And everybody wonders why the New York City education system sucks? Now we've got, you know, because they have no choice because, you know, COVID and everything else. That's the new spin, right? So they've had this defund the police movement. So, you know, let's move from New York City education to New York City police, because they've had this defund education movement now going on for about defund the police movement going on for about a month. And now how they're spinning it, because the mayor just announced that he's cutting $1 billion from the NYPD's budget, but it's because of the COVID. It's because of the city's budget shortfalls because of the COVID. Ain't got a fucking thing to do with the COVID. You are a panty-waist motherfucker who ain't got a spine to be able to stand up to somebody and say, look, this city needs police officers. I don't care if you don't like them or not, but this city needs police officers. Because, you know, not to sound like the general from A Few Good Men, but at the end of the day, you need people willing to stand on a wall in the dark and make sure that people don't get to you. And that's what the thin blue line is. Now, you can say how bad it is and how much the system sucks, but until you've done that job, I don't want to hear a fucking thing out of your mouth. And I'm being completely serious right now. Until you have actually done that job, you don't get to say a word. Because you have never been in a position where you are having to make a split-second decision, and that split-second decision, while you're running through all the different variables that are going on, you're having to make the decision, do I take a shot that could end this person's life, or do I run the risk of not going home tonight? Because until you find yourself in that position, you don't have the right to say a fucking word about how a cop does their job. Unless you see malfeasance, like we've seen on that video with George Floyd, you do not have the right to say a word. Because you haven't been there. And until you are, you're not going to understand it. And at the end of the day, it takes a really special type of person to run to the sound of bullets while everybody else is fighting their instincts to run away. Those are heroes. And they deserve to be treated as heroes, not treated as basically pariahs. And this is watching what is happening to the brothers and sisters in blue across this country breaks my heart. Because 99% of them started doing this job because they wanted to make the world a better place. They wanted to make their city a safer place. They wanted to make sure that it was a safe place to raise kids. And they're doing that. And because less than 1% are doing a job for the wrong reasons, and every profession has those people. But it gets amplified tenfold when you're dealing with a profession like this one. Because you're trusting them with firearms. You're trusting them with your life. And then they do something stupid like this idiot with the George Floyd case. Look, I get it. I've been there. And, you know, I'm watching, and as somebody who's been there, because I've been in a situation where I didn't have my knee on their neck, but I had my knee on their back while they were handcuffed because they were still struggling with me the entire time. And in that instance, they started saying, I can't, pardon me, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. But my TO, one of the TOs that I was working with at the time, because I was still a rookie, came over and said, if he's talking, he can breathe. That's been a common perception for a very long time. If you have the ability to speak, then you have the ability to breathe, because it takes air to be able to speak. Now, I'm not making excuses for this officer, because once he was secured and once he was no longer struggling, he should not have been on him anymore. But you can't, well, he was saying you can't breathe. That's not always going to mean anything. And the reason I say this is, and not mentioning any names, and this is after I was out of law enforcement, this is when I was working private security. But I was dealing with a domestic dispute between two drunk ladies, and went to start trying to handcuff the one of them that had swung on the other one, and she fell to the ground. Well, since I was in the process of trying to handcuff her, I fell with her. So at that time, I continued to try to secure her while she was on the ground, and so was I. Once I got the cuffs on her hands, and this is a different scenario than the one that I was just talking about, she still continued to fight me. And fight me, and fight me, and fight me. I finally got her calmed down well enough where I tried to get up, and I tried to help her up. She chose instead to roll onto her back, nearly breaking her own wrist, to kick me in my sternum. And these are the things that I'm talking about. You do not know that type of situation until you've been in it. And there is no such thing as a routine traffic stop or a routine arrest, because those things do not exist. And all of these people playing armchair quarterback and armchair deputy dog can fuck right off. Because until you've been there, and until you've tried to do the job, and I don't care if you've done it in a private security capacity or a full-on law enforcement capacity or both, until you've been in a situation where at the end of the day, you've got people shooting at you, or you're trying to subdue someone who's running from a fight scene, or that's beat the shit out of somebody else, and your adrenaline's flowing, and you've got split seconds to decide what's going on, that's when training kicks in. But everything that the media is telling us about, we've got to defund the police because we've got to start from the ground up because the entire system is corrupt because it was designed around systemic racism and blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. That's a bunch of fucking bullshit. All of these trainings that they're talking about are already in place at the city level. I know. Because when I started my own security company, one of the first things I did was sign a contract with a firm that did the security training, and this firm was actually run by a former highway patrol officer. And one of the reasons that I made every single one of my officers go there, even if it meant that I had to cover the bill, is short of the, you know, having to do so many jumping jacks and the emergency, you know, how far can you drive backwards in a straight line at 90 mile an hour in reverse and how quickly can you hit the brakes. Short of all that stuff, pretty much all the training that they got put through was equivalent to an academy training course. And I made them go there on purpose. Because even in a job that is, well, you're only supposed to observe and report, nothing ever goes as planned. So you always want to plan for the worst, hope for the best. So I found them the best training that I possibly could. And I'm just thinking, as a business owner and somebody that is paying people to put themselves in harm's way should the need arise, to protect other people's property, businesses, whatever the case may be, do you not really think that local police departments are doing the exact same thing? Of course they are. Because you know why? Because if they don't, they don't get the federal funding that they need to pay for the rest of their shit. So the idea that they don't already have all of this training, and they don't already have all of these classes, and all these things that you're supposed to take about different ways that you can subdue somebody that doesn't involve putting your knee on their neck, is fucking bullshit. The idea that we have this systemic racism running rampant through every police department in the United States of America is fucking bullshit. But you know how they're managing to sell that narrative? Because now they've decided even Abraham Lincoln is racist. The guy who emancipated the slaves may not have been pro-slavery, but he damn sure wasn't pro-black. That's what they're saying two or three different places right now are fighting to get rid of his statue. Teddy Roosevelt, they're fighting to get rid of his statue. What happens when all the statues are gone? What's next? I'll tell you what's next. The American flag and the Star Spangled Banner, because they've already started. If you think the Mississippi flag was where they're stopping, you're not paying attention. Because let me tell you something, as far as they're concerned, the American flag is just as racist as the stars and bars. And the minute we said, well, we'll see your point there, and maybe that really shouldn't be on government buildings, and maybe it should only be in museums, you lost your fight. Because now they've got you where they want you, because when they start making the same noise about the American flag, you don't have a fucking leg to stand on anymore. Because that flag was designed while there was still slavery. Slavery was rampant in this country when that flag was designed. Slavery was rampant in this country when they wrote the Star Spangled Banner. Hell, the whole third verse that nobody ever sings actually mentions fucking slavery! You cannot give in to this kind of bullshit. You can't. Sorry, little worked up tonight. More worked up than I thought I'd be, honestly, after doing 5.5 hours worth of radio. But on that note, we're going to take a break. Because I need to go find some water because I've been getting a little worked up. But anyway, hang on just a second. I know what I'm looking for, but it's not loading. Hang on. All right, we're going to take a break. This is America Off the Rails. I am your host, Rick Robinson. We'll be back. Gene didn't do a buffoons this week, but because we had guests last week, I didn't run the one from last week. So just to make sure you guys get a chance to listen to it, we're going to play that when we come back. Stay tuned.
Look, if you had one shot, one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted, one moment that you captured, just let it slip. Yo,
his palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy, there's vomit on his sweater already, mom's spaghetti, he's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to drop bombs, but he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down, the whole crowd goes so loud, he opens his mouth, but the words won't come out, he's choking how, everybody's choking now, the clock's run out, time's up, over, loud, snap back to...
Everyone loves liberty, our rights come from God, not the government. So why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your healthcare? Exercise your freedom with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Liberty HealthShare is founded on the idea that most people truly want to help one another. Healthcare sharing allows members to do just that as a true community that supports one another in times of need. Liberty believes people should make decisions for themselves and their families. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their healthcare. Freedom from guilt or doubt about how your money is used. You have the freedom to direct your health care, not to be dictated to by bureaucrats. Stop letting others tell you what to do and join a community of like-minded people. Exercise your freedom. Join Liberty HealthShare and take back the control of your health care while helping those around you. Call Liberty at 855-58-LIBERTY. Again, that's 855-58-LIBERTY for more information, or you can check them out at libertyhealthshare.org. Again, that's libertyhealthshare.org.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm. But even then, he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq. Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now. 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5000. Enjoy.
Welcome back into the program, ladies and gentlemen. I am Rick Robinson. This is America Off the Rails. And that was Men Without Hat Safety Dance, because, you know, one of the guys in the chat absolutely loves that song. And since Stacy's not here to yell at me, we played it again. All right. So anyway, sorry, there's a running joke with Stacy in the mornings. I'm not allowed to play this song, and I can't play anything from, anything that isn't Jefferson, that involves anything past Jefferson Airplane. Because there was Jefferson Airplane, Jefferson Starship, then just Starship. I'm not allowed to play anything after they changed their name. And I can't play this song either. I don't know what it is about this song, but she doesn't like it. I mean, come on. It's campy. It's 80s. kind of has the same feel as some of the Devo songs, so I really don't understand why she doesn't like it, but what the hell? She's not here, so we played it anyway. All right, so before we get to Buffoons, because I'm queuing that up as we speak, there's one other thing that I wanted to talk about that kind of goes along with everything else we've been talking about, Black Lives Matter, whole defund the police movement, and all the stupidness. So there's a side to this thing that nobody's really talking about today, and I think this is pretty interesting. So, you know, there's been a section of Seattle that's basically been held hostage for, what, weeks now. So the part that none of the media is really talking about is, you know, at 5 this morning, when the cops came through, cleaned it out, and then basically ran everybody out of there, people from the businesses that hadn't left yet, from the homes that didn't have anywhere to go, they came out and started cheering the police, and they were in tears. I'm just going to say this one time and one time only. For those of you that are elected to office, you're listening to the wrong fucking people. Because your constituents that were there didn't want a damn thing to do with this. Actually, I take that back. I guess there is actually a buffoon this week. There's an episode. See, I was confused. So I guess we're going to finish out the night with two, because I'm going to play last week's. And then there was an episode of the Buffoon of the Week this week, but I guess they couldn't decide who the best nominee was, so there's a whole bunch. So we're going to finish out the night. I'm going to just let these run until they're over, and then we're probably going to wrap. Here's the first one. Hopefully, yeah, it doesn't have an ad. Hang on.
Hey there, and welcome to Buffoon of the Week, where we scour last week's news and current events, looking out for people who did or said something so freaking crazy that they earn a chance to be recognized as the dumbest newsmaker of the week. You see, you can vote for your choice by clicking on the I in the top left.
Wait, what'd you say? They did what? What do you mean YouTube took polls away? Well, how the fuck?
Like I was saying, you can vote by leaving a comment for your choice, or by heading over to our Facebook page and voting in our poll over there. Because Facebook had the good common sense not to remove polling as an option for creators, unlike these YouTube ass.
All right, I'm fine now. I'm fine. Can we just do the show?
Last week, you voted, back when we had polls, for Chaz overwhelmingly as Buffoon of the Week. For once, both our Facebook followers and those of you right here on YouTube agreed on the same choice. With no real end in sight, we'll keep an eye on all the hijinks that Chaz is going to bring us in the future, so stay tuned right here. Speaking of tuning in, we post weekly videos Mondays at 10 a.m. Eastern, so if you like what you're seeing, we'd really appreciate it if you'd smash that thumbs up button and subscribe to the channel. We're setting our sights on our next landmark of 200 subscribers. It may not seem like a lot to you guys, but for us, it's huge, and we really need your help to get there. So in between laughs, hit that subscription button. Before we get to our nominees, let's kick things off with a salute to those who didn't quite meet our nominating committee's rigorous standards, but they still deserve a mention for the efforts they put in. It's time to look at those dishonorable mentions. First up is Fox News' Martha McCallum, whose show displayed a Reddit post clearly lampooning news coverage of Chaz that she offered as a real reaction to the then-breaking news story.
One posting on social media that has now been deleted read this: "I didn't vote for Raz. I thought we were an autonomous collective, an anarcho-syndicalist commune at the least. We should take turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week." It's just part of that.
The reason why that quote should sound familiar to you is that Martha and her show didn't fact check that it was actually a posting ripped right out of the film Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Does no one vet anything anymore?
No, now go away or I shall taunt you a second time.
Next up, we have Duluth, Minnesota Mayor Emily Larson, who is pushing city council members to remove the word chief from city job titles, saying that the term is offensive to Native Americans. According to Larson, chief is language that is rooted in hurt and offensive intentional marginalization. An actual quote. Maybe someone should tell Larson that the word chief is actually rooted in Old French circa 1300, meaning leader, captain, or authority. Now, I may not be a scholar of history or such a cunning linguist, but I'm pretty sure that predates the first European interactions with Native Americans. See, you never know the things you're gonna learn right here on Buffoon of the Week. And finally, we're back on the Bozo Watch. Past winner and seemingly perpetual buffoon, Bill de Blasio, has instructed coronavirus contact tracers not to ask individuals if they attended a protest. Now again, I'm no epidemiologist, but I'm guessing that limiting questions about recent contacts will hamper contact tracing efforts. Wokeness before science. That's our DeBozo for you. That leads us to this week's nominees. We have two more woke buffoons lined up for you. That's Virginia Senator Tim Kaine and late night comedian Chelsea Handler, both of whom should have thought before opening up their big mouths. This week's first nominee is Virginia Senator and former vice presidential nominee Tim Kaine. Last Tuesday, Kaine's historical illiteracy was on full display when he announced a startling discovery.
The first African Americans into the English colonies came to Point Comfort, Virginia in 1619. They were slaves. They'd been captured against their will. But they landed in colonies that didn't have slavery. There were no laws about slavery in the colonies at that time. The United States didn't inherit slavery from anybody. We created it. It got created by the Virginia General Assembly and the legislatures of other states. It got created by the court systems in colonial America and since that enforced fugitive slave laws. We created it.
Now imagine being a learned historian hearing this ridiculous rewrite of the past. For the sake of wokeness, Kaine attempted to memory hole literally thousands of years of documented historical evidence that the practice of owning slaves started in the first known civilizations on the planet. No wonder this is the guy Hillary wanted to be her vice president. He'll try to pass off any BS talking point with a straight face. Obviously, Kaine got dragged all over social media for his asinine comments, which he later defended to the media, saying, quote, "Did slavery already exist in the world? Of course. But not in the laws of colonial America at the time. We could have been a nation completely without the institution, but colonial legislatures and courts and eventually the U.S. legal system created the institution on our shores and maintained slavery until the 13th Amendment. As I've said, we didn't inherit it, we chose to create it." Yeah, right, Tim. Because that's how settling a new colony worked back then. Those silly European colonizers, they should have known that they were in America, where things are supposed to be different, even if America didn't exist for over 100 years after they arrived. Like what you see so far? Go ahead and smash that thumbs up button. Also, leave us a comment and tell us what you're thinking. And don't forget to subscribe, so you never miss another show. This week's second nominee is late-night comedian Chelsea Handler. Ever the woke celebrity, Handler was criticized for sharing an old clip of Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan on Instagram last week, along with the comment, "I learned a lot from watching this powerful video." According to the New York Post, the video itself depicts Farrakhan debating whether racial prejudice can really ever be truly overcome. Because what better way to show how woke you are than by citing a known racist? For those of you living under a rock, Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam have long been known for spewing deeply racist, anti-Semitic, and anti-LGBT rhetoric over the years. And that's not me talking. That's the progressive-leaning Southern Poverty Law Center. That same video was reposted by other bonehead celebrities, including actress Jessica Chastain and abortion enthusiast Jamila Jamil, who later took it down after learning who Farrakhan was. But the celebrity herd mentality continued, as Handler's post was also reportedly liked by fellow buffoons Jennifer Aniston, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Jennifer Garner. Ignorance is not only bliss, but apparently is alive and well in Hollywood. Handler has since done the deletion of shame, but ever the right fighter, she had the audacity to attempt to defend Louis Farrakhan's anti-Semitic views. This is a first for us, folks. Defending your buffoonery by justifying the actions of a racist. Hey, don't forget that Buffoon of the Week is all over social media, so when you're online, make sure you like us on Facebook, you follow us on the Twitters, and go on over to Instagram and like us there too. But the most important thing you have to do is remember to subscribe right here on YouTube. It's time once again to break down the nominees so you can make your choice. Which means it's time to roll out our trademark-pending Sharpton Scale of Buffoonery. First, we measure the buffoonish nature of each nominee by comparing them to our guiding star of buffoonery, the Reverend Al Sharpton. Then, we'll measure the buffoonish magnitude of each nominee's actions using our custom unit of measurement, the Sharpton. Please maintain social distancing at all times. This level of buffoonery may be contagious. Tim Kaine's Senate speech is not only factually inaccurate, but is willfully ignorant of history and culture. His double down shows that he knowingly was stretching facts to their limit, and his argument that European colonialists should have simply ignored their past traditions is simply disingenuous. This is a classic example of imposing modern thinking on past events without historical context. Kaine gets a personal score of 72, and his acts earned a fitting 16.19 gigasharptons. Chelsea Handler committed a classic blunder that we've seen here before. A thoughtless social media posting so she could win the race of being the most woke in the fastest time. Her second blunder is another we've seen before. The non-apology apology, but this time with a tinge of justifying racism, which is the absolute opposite of being woke. So when you add it all up, Chelsea Handler scores an 80, and her actions earn 11.31 gigasharptons. This week, we got two willfully ignorant buffoons. But only one can win, and you get to make the call. Tell us who you got for this week's Buffoon of the Week. Thanks for watching all the way to the end of the video. I can't believe YouTube took away polls. It makes us so angry here. But we're going to keep doing what we're doing, and next week there'll be two more buffoons for you to talk about, but only one can be Buffoon of the Week. Stop by next week, folks. See you then.
All right, so there's last week's. We're going to finish up the show with this week's because, sorry, I was told there was no episode this week. I must have misunderstood what he told me, but here's the one from this week, and it's going to put us long, so I'm just going to come back and wrap when we're over.
Hello and welcome to Buffoon of the Week. It's a show where we scour last week's news and current events, looking out for people who did or said something so cuckoo bananas that they earn a chance to live in infamy as the king or queen of absolute stupidity. Well, at least for a week. See, the way it works is you vote by leaving a comment for your choice right down below this video that you're watching right now, or by going to our Facebook page and voting in our poll there that we do every week. Last week, you picked Senator Tim Kaine for Buffoon of the Week for his attempt at rewriting early American history. Many of the comments that you all left explained that when a normally buffoonish person like Chelsea Handler does something dumb, it's kind of expected. But when someone not normally regarded as a buffoon rewrites 5,000 years of history, that wins your vote. We really do have the smartest audience here, which is why you already know that we post weekly videos Mondays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. So please, stop what you're doing right now and give this video a thumbs up if you haven't already. And also, please subscribe to our channel so we can reach our next itty-bitty milestone of 200 subscribers. Your support is the reason why we keep churning out these videos. So if you're out there and you like this, show us how much by subscribing. This week, our nominating committee got a little bit heated trying to choose two nominees. It looks like 2020 finally broke the show, as there was not only an overload of nominees, but complete disagreement on who should be the two put up for your vote. So for this week, it's time for our first ever Buffoon of the Week free-for-all. Last week, Florida's Palm Beach County held a public hearing and voted to make wearing face masks mandatory amid a surge in coronavirus cases. This prompted a few furious responses from residents, including... Well, take a look at these.
You literally cannot mandate somebody to wear a mask knowing that that mask is killing people. It literally is killing people. And every single one of you that are obeying the devil's laws are going to be arrested. And you, doctor, are going to be arrested for crimes against humanity. Every single one of you have a smirk behind that little mask What happened to Bill Gates? Why is he not in jail? Why is Hillary Clinton not in jail? Why are all of these pedophiles that are demanding you all to listen to their rules, why are they not in jail? Oh, is it because you're part of them? Are you part of the deep state? The deep state is going down. And if any of you are in the deep state, you're going down with it.
Nice girl, but about as sharp as a sack of wet mice.
Your degrees and what you really know, because what you say is the political dogma that they're trying to shove down our throats on every commercial and every store, and it's disgusting. And I'm sorry, ma'am, but I don't think that you are worthy of your credentials. And I would ask suggestively that you go back to school and get educated.
Ma'am. At the end, I don't wear a mask for the same reason I don't wear underwear. Things gotta breathe.
Hey, you know what? I think we've discovered a new breed of Karen. And we shall call her Corona Karen. Next, we're going to give ourselves a little pat on the back here for predicting the future a few weeks ago. Remember this? So in summary, changing your band name from a reference to the American South pre-Civil War in support of racial equality is a good thing. But it's not a good thing when you simultaneously steal your new name from a black performer because you were so arrogant that you didn't bother to do a minimal amount of research. Because that's just straight buffoonery. Let's hope the Dixie Chicks avoid the same problem when the Woken Warriors come for them. Well, say hello to the Chicks. Yep, it happened, folks. The Dixie Chicks caved to the rampant PC crowd and changed their name as predicted. Now, how long will it be until someone is offended by the word chicks? You know, political correctness is just simply out of control. The Simpsons last week announced that they will no longer have white voice actors portray non-white characters on the show. So, you know, considering everyone there is either yellow or some other color, there goes every single white voice actor on the cast. It's a slippery slope, folks. Remember your silence when they came for The Simpsons, when they come for the cast of Hamilton, and they all lose their jobs. Oh, wait. That's different because reasons. The woke political correctness crowd will always give themselves a pass whenever one of their own does something that a normal everyday person would be utterly destroyed for doing. Here's two examples from last week alone. Apparently, Tina Fey just now realized that blackface is wrong. In these racially charged times, Fey has asked that 4 episodes of her hit show 30 Rock be pulled from streaming because they contain blackface. Pretty sure blackface was wrong when it aired, and it's been wrong for years. Ain't that right, Governor Northam? And how about past nominee Jimmy Kimmel, who came under fire last week for his previous use of blackface and black impressions in comedy sketches?
Today, Paul Malone talking about health. Paul Malone, healthy as horse, but everybody not so lucky. All kind of Americans infected by diabetes. Diabetes infect young, old, women, man. And here Karl Malone whole thing. Why they call it diabetes? That get people all riled up. That's what Karl Malone say. Change name diabetes to live beatis.
In addition to this crap being brought up again, Fox News also reported last week that Kimmel recorded a 90s Christmas album with an original song where he imitated Snoop Dogg's voice and used the N-word several times. Kimmel also acknowledged imitating black people on tape on other occasions during a podcast. No wonder this guy's taking the summer off. It's not because he needs a break. He needs to lie low. I swear, you need a scorecard to keep up with today's woke racial games. But I know what to do. We need to find someone to clear all this up for us. And who better to clear up race relation issues than AOC?
You know, a lot of times I'll hear people say, okay, this is about Black Lives Matter. What about Latinos? And I always say, Latinos are black. We are Afro-Latina, and we run an entire racial spectrum. And so we have to have conversations around colorism, and we have to have conversations about the African and indigenous roots from which we come and how that's reflected in systems of power, wealth inequality, and frankly, our political system.
Yeah, so okay, I'm more confused now than before. Latinos are black. I mean, all of them? Some of them? Maybe someone should tell George Zimmerman that he's now black? I mean, what's going on here now? Speaking of racial buffoonery,
let's check in on a past winner. Chaz. Or Chop. Or...
hey, what are they calling themselves these days?
Anyways, racial equality is certainly alive and well in Chop. There. I mean, what says equality better than segregation?
How long's the blackout going for?
Well, 8 p.m.
Okay, so I have to wait till 8, basically?
You're welcome to, like, hang out in the perimeter area.
Well, the thing is, I'm half Italian, half Colombian, so do I get a pass to get in there, or...?
Well, this space is right now held for just black.
Oh, just black, okay, yeah. So... full black, you're saying.
If you have black ancestry, or if you have experienced oppression because you're black, then you can...
And with that, race relations has been set back about 60 years. Does anyone remember what this whole autonomous zone was supposed to be about? Oh, that's right, police misconduct. It's a no police zone, which makes this video all the more buffoonish.
Yo, I was shot in Seattle at Chaz on Friday. The cops left me out there to die.
Who saw that coming? Other than, you know, everyone. Now, we shouldn't joke about people getting shot. But how about people tearing down statues that they feel to be racially insensitive or symbols of white supremacy? New York Governor Andrew Cuomo sure seems to agree that malicious destruction of public property can be a good thing.
And look, people are making a statement about equality, about community, to be against racism, against slavery. I think those are good statements. But in New York, I don't think we've overdone it. And I think it's a healthy expression of people saying, let's get some priorities here and let's remember the sin and mistake that this nation made and let's not celebrate it.
But then again, Cuomo's judgment may not be the best to look to. Last week, Cuomo blamed sick nursing home staffers for infecting residents at their facilities with coronavirus and doubled down on a controversial state order barring the facilities from turning away coronavirus-positive patients, saying, quote, it wasn't a mistake. I'm sure that comes as great comfort to all the families of the thousands of people who died as a result. On the subject of questionable judgment, we have to talk about the two news stories that almost tore the nominating committee apart. First is the questionable judgment of Trump campaign manager Brad Parscale for allowing the Trump campaign's Tulsa, Oklahoma rally to transform from a welcome back party into a complete and total fiasco. Trump's campaign claimed it received more than 1 million requests for tickets and prepared for arena overflow, but the official count had fewer than 6,500 supporters in attendance, a number that is totally disputed by the Trump campaign, as well as by anecdotal accounts by people who attended. Why was it so low? Was it because of unruly protesters? Was it due to TikTokers and K-pop fans who blocked off reservations and inflated the campaign's vaulted numbers? Who knows? But the fact of the matter is that when a campaign has to answer those type of questions, that's a sign that someone, maybe a lot of someones, really screwed the pooch. And nothing screams out buffoonery more than botching a big reveal.
I told you.
The second story, which almost tore the nominating committee apart, was the biggest tabloid story of the week. It was the debate over whether NASCAR driver Bubba Wallace was indeed the victim of a hate crime, or whether it was all a case of mistaken identity. Let's be clear, no one called buffoonery on the initial reporting that the FBI was investigating whether a pull rope in a garage at Talladega was fashioned into a noose in Bubba Wallace's assigned garage. But after the FBI determined that Wallace was not a target, and reports emerged that the so-called noose had been there in that garage for months, if not years prior to Wallace's team's discovery, many called buffoonery on Wallace when he kept calling it a, quote, straight-up noose, and claimed that he had evidence to back up his claim. Wallace then did a quick backtrack a day later. And so the debate raged on. Does Wallace's double down after the FBI said it wasn't a noose qualify him for nomination? Was Wallace's backtrack enough to get him out of being nominated? When is a rope a noose? When is a noose just a rope? Why do NASCARs only turn left? And why the hell did Facebook take away polling? Yes, I'm still not over it. These are the questions that keep buffoonologists like us up at night. And as the week ended, we were left at an impasse, and completely exhausted by the sheer magnitude of the collective buffoonery this week hath brought.
And now, if you don't mind, I need to lie down. Like what you see so far? Go ahead and smash that thumbs up button. Also, leave us a comment and tell us what you're thinking. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss another show. Boy, did we ever leave you in a mess. We now turn to you to settle this free-for-all. Who was the biggest buffoon of the week? Your choices are numerous and range in hilarity. The time for choosing is right now. Thanks again for staying around for the end of the show. We tried to do a little something different this week. Tell us what you think about it in the comments. And please, don't forget to subscribe. We try to get that next milestone. Check back with us next week. We'll have more nominees, but only one can be Buffoon of the Week.
All right, so there you have this week's episode of Buffoon of the Week. And this time, your vote does matter. You don't get to pick from two. Go back to the list, put in the comments who you think the best buffoon was, and hang on, let me stop this before it starts playing something else. All right, on that note, we are going to get out of here because I am into now the beginning of my seventh hour of radio for the day. Not going to do anymore, folks. I love you, but yeah, we got to go. Just saying, because I got to be back up at, you know, 5:30 to start getting ready to do this all over again. So I'm going to go. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Don't forget, tomorrow is Thursday, so we have a special episode of Juxtaposition tomorrow night as well. Don't forget, so we'll have the morning show from 7 to 9, me and Stacy. Then we do the normal stuff. We have 8 p.m., Culture Shift, Brad and Ordy. Then we have... there is a show that plays in the middle there, but he keeps changing the name on it, and I keep forgetting what it's called. And it's also a drop, so it's not anything that we run live. Then we will have... another Believe in Podcast, and we'll roll straight into the special makeup edition of Juxtaposition with myself, Ordy Packard, and Stoner Jeff, talking about Area 51, Roswell, a bunch of things aliens related. Hope you guys tune in and join us for that, and then I'll be off other than the morning show, and I think on Friday, because I'm off on the day job, so I think I might actually do a 4th of July special. Sort of, kind of, on Friday. Maybe for like an hour or so during the probably afternoonish. Jury's still out on that one, though. But for right now, at this time, this show is officially over. So we'll see you guys tomorrow.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is! Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
No!